There is power in the name of Jesus. You know, let me tell you something. Back in the day, back in Jesus' day, he was not the only person named Jesus. He was not. It was a common name. It's like Sam or John or Josh or Mark or Mike or Sally or Susie or Jehoshaphat. You know, maybe that's not so common, but it was a common name. There's power in the name of Jesus, not in the name just because it's a name. It's because it is Jesus, the Christ, the Messiah, the Son of the living God, and there's power in that name. Woo! I'm shaking. I'm not nervous. I'm fired up. I'm fired up. Folks, let me tell you something. When somebody, somebody may have misunderstood. When there is somebody on the stage, when somebody is singing, when somebody is preaching, this is not a spectator sport. Okay? This is not a concert. This is not a lecture. This is interactive. And if somebody's on stage leading in worship, that's what they're doing. They're leading in worship, and it's okay to worship. And it's not a concert. If somebody's up here preaching, if I'm up here preaching, let me tell you something. What you may or may not know about me, amens will fire me up. That's like saying, sick them to a bulldog. All right? You'll see me get fired up. You start telling me, come on, or saying, preach it, or say amen, or that ain't right. You need to do better, or something like that. Tell me something. Man. It's 11:30. But I'm cooking lunch for you. I'm not cooking lunch. We're cooking lunch for you. So I'll feed you when we're done. How about that? Luke chapter 24. We're going to talk about the resurrection. It's Easter. We're going to talk about I told you that already. So if you didn't hear me, you need to know we're going to talk about the resurrection. But I'm going to talk to you. I'm going to talk to you more about after the resurrection than I'm going to talk to you about the resurrection. But we're going to read the account. Luke chapter 24. And I'm going to ask you, we're going to read a lot of it, okay? It's a lot of passage we're fixing to read. Half the chapter we're going to read. So I'm going to ask you if you would stand in honor of the Word of God as we read today. We're going to read through about verse 35, so just hang on. On the first day of the week, very early in the morning, the women took the spices they had prepared and went to the tomb. They found the stone rolled away. Everybody say amen. Amen. Rolled away from the tomb. But when they entered, they did not find the body of the Lord Jesus. While they were wondering about this, suddenly two men in clothes that gleamed like lightning stood beside them. How many of you think that'd be an awesome sight? In their fright, the women bowed down with their faces to the ground, but the men said to them, why do you look for the living among the dead? He is not here. He has risen. Remember how he told you while he was still with you in Galilee, and this is a quote, the Son of God must be delivered over to the hands of sinners to be crucified and on the third day be raised again? Then they remembered his words. Verse 9, when they came back from the tomb, they told all these things to the 11 and to all the others. It was Mary Magdalene, Joanna, Mary the mother of James, and others with them who told this to the apostles. But they did not believe the women because their words seemed to them like nonsense. Folks, it's still the case today sometimes. To some people, it still sounds like nonsense, but there's hope. There's hope. Peter, however, got up and ran to the tomb. He was curious enough at least to go check it out, to go find out if it's true or not. Bending over, he saw the strips of linen lying by themselves, and he went away, wondering himself what had happened. Verse 13, now that same day, two of them were going to a village called Emmaus, about 7 miles from Jerusalem. They were talking with each other about everything that had happened. As they talked, they discussed these things with each other. Jesus himself came up and walked with them, but they were kept from recognizing them. And he asked him, what are you discussing as you walk together, as you walk along? They stood still, their faces downcast. One of them, named Cleopas, asked, "Are you the only one visiting Jerusalem who does not know the things that have happened in these days?" "What things?" he asked. "About Jesus of Nazareth," they replied. "He was a prophet." Notice the tense. "He was a prophet, powerful in word and deed before God and all the people. The chief priests and our rulers handed him over to be sentenced to death, and they crucified him. But we had hoped," notice the tense, "we had hoped that he was the one who was going to redeem Israel. And what is more, it is the third day since all this took place." 3 days. 3 days. You couldn't be dead until you've been dead for 3 days. Tradition, okay? They thought, well, maybe if it's just a coma, we'll know after 3 days, okay? They didn't have life support and all that kind of stuff. 3 days was, if you were dead 3 days, you were dead, okay? So they're just saying, we waited as long as we could, and now we see. It's the third day. In addition, verse 22, "Some of our women amazed us. They went to the tomb early this morning but didn't find his body." Don't you think they could have put two and two together? I don't know, because they knew. "They came and told us that they had seen visions of angels who said he was alive. Then some of our companions went to the tomb and found it just as the women had said, but they did not see Jesus. And he said to them, 'How foolish you are, how slow to believe all the prophets have spoken. Did not the Messiah have to suffer these things and then enter his glory?' And beginning with Moses and all the prophets, he explained to them what was said in all the scriptures concerning himself." As they approached the village to which they were going, Jesus continued on as if he were going farther, but they urged him strongly, "Stay with us, for it is nearly evening. The day is almost over." So he went to stay with them. Verse 30. "When he was at the table with them, he took bread and gave thanks, broke it, and began to give it to them. Then their eyes were open, and they recognized him, and he disappeared from their sight. They asked each other, 'Were not our hearts burning within us while he talked with us on the road and opened the scriptures to us?' They got up and returned at once to Jerusalem. There they found the 11 and those with them assembled together and saying, 'It is true, the Lord has risen and has appeared to Simon.' And then the two told what had happened on the way and how Jesus was recognized by them when he broke the bread." Lord, thank you for your word. Thank you how it teaches us how we can gain hope and encouragement from your word, and Father, how it teaches us the truths that you want us to know about who you are. Father, may you bless the reading of your word today. Continue to make the words that come from my mouth, Father, be your words. And if they're not, change them en route so that people hear what you want them to hear. In Jesus' name, amen. These guys, thank you, you may be seated. These guys were standing in front of the I Am, talking about what was. Y'all catch that? Jesus says, "I am." I mean, that's it. I am the I Am. I am the great I Am. I am the I Am. Okay? Before Moses and all them were, I am. I am. And they were standing in front of the I Am talking about what was. You remember? We had hoped. And there was another one back there that said, you know, something about that. We thought he would be. But now it's over, and, you know, pity on us, and we're sad. The Scripture says that they had hoped, past this. I think the way that's in there, they had hoped, meaning we had hope, but now we don't. For crying out loud, it's already been 3 days. We had hoped, at least even through the first part of day three, we had hope, but now we don't have hope anymore. We're just going to go away and find something else to do, go back to our old life, whatever. Jesus had told them all about the resurrection. He had told them. But listen, even if he had not, being Jews, they knew the prophecies concerning the Messiah. They knew. Jesus had said in John chapter 11, verse 25 and 26, he said, Jesus was talking to the woman, he said, I am the resurrection and the life. The one who believes in me will live, even though they die. And whoever lives by believing in me will never die. Do you believe this? He asked the woman, do you believe this? I'm going to ask you, do you believe this? Okay, y'all didn't hear me. Let me ask again. Do y'all believe this?
Yes.
Okay. I'm going to have to change and preach something different because, folks, you have to believe this stuff. It's not make-believe. It's not some fairy tale. It's the truth of the Word of God. These guys, they were stuck in the past. Now, I'm going to start preaching here. They were stuck in the past. Some of you are stuck in the past. Some of you are living in the past. We had hoped, but not anymore. I had desired, but not anymore. I craved, but not anymore. I had joy, but not anymore. I wanted to do what He wanted me to do, but not anymore. And some of us are stuck in not anymore. Some of us are stuck in the past. They were stuck in the past. They were stuck in their mistakes. And some of you may be stuck in your mistakes or your regrets or failures. Some of you are living in the past. For some, the past is the only place you can leave because you don't have a future. And folks, I'm not saying this. I'm not making this up. This is what God Himself says. I'm not speaking. This is not a chapter verse where you can go to and quote what I just said. But if you don't have Jesus Christ, you don't have a future. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by me. Period. So if you don't come through Jesus Christ, you don't have a way. And you have no hope. But there's good news. There's good news. Because of the resurrection, you can have hope. You can have hope. One of the most famous verses in all of Scripture, John 3:16 and following, says this, For God so loved the world, that's you and me, He gave His one and only Son, that whoever, everybody say whoever. Say whoever includes me. Whoever believes in Him shall not perish but have eternal life. For God did not send His Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through Him. Whoever believes in Him is not condemned. I was condemned. But not anymore. You see, you don't have to live in that past either. Whoever does not believe stands condemned already because they have not believed in the name of God's one and only Son, and that name is Jesus. Jesus. Jesus had to explain these things to them. Luke chapter 24, back there in verse 26. He said, Did not the Messiah have to suffer these things and then enter His glory? He was telling them, reminding them of the prophecies. Did not the Messiah have to suffer these things? See, they should have known this. They should have known this. They did know this. They knew it here, but not with their hearts. They had knowledge of the facts, but they didn't believe it. You see, there's a difference between knowledge and belief. They had hoped, but they hadn't really expected, I believe. How many of you have a hope, but don't really expect it? How many of you have a hope of being free? The chains broken. How many of you have a hope of all that, but And really, for me, in my case, it's probably never really going to happen. You see, we have a hope. But sometimes we don't expect that to really come true. Do you have expectations of a resurrection? Folks, we read the account of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. They went to the tomb. They looked in. It wasn't there. It was a guarded tomb. It wasn't like somebody could just sneak up and steal him. Okay? This stone, let me tell you something. It was bigger than this. I knocked the tomb down. Sorry, we don't need a tomb anymore anyway. There's nothing in it. The stone is much bigger than this. I could not have rolled that stone away. Let me fix this. Turn it around. Do you have expectations? First of all, do you believe in that resurrection? And if you believe in that resurrection, do you believe and have an expectation of our resurrection? That's where the hope is, folks. That's where the hope is. That's where the hope is. Romans chapter 8, verse 11. And if the Spirit of Him who raised Jesus from the dead is living in you, He who raised Christ from the dead will also give you life to your mortal bodies because of His Spirit who lives in you. Let me put that in plain English for you. The God who raised Jesus from the dead will raise you. If you believe. If you believe. I serve a risen Savior. He's in the world today. I know that He is living no matter what men may say. I see His hand of mercy. I hear His voice of cheer. And just the time I need Him, He's always near. In all the world around me, I see His loving care. And though my heart grows weary, I never will despair. I know that He is leading through all the stormy blast, the day of His appearing will come at last. Rejoice! Rejoice, O Christian! Lift up your voice and sing eternal hallelujahs to Jesus Christ, the King, the hope of all who seek Him, the help of all who find. None other is so loving, so good and kind, because He lives. He lives. Christ Jesus lives today. He's not there. He walks with me and talks with me along life's narrow way. He lives. He lives salvation to impart. You ask me how I know He lives? He lives within my heart. That was so good, somebody ought to turn that into a song. Facts are in the past. If something happens, boom. Somebody's going to document it. Somebody's going to write it down. It's going to be a fact, and it happened. You can either prove it, disprove it, go back to look at the evidence, whatever. Facts are in the past. Faith is in the future. Faith is when you trust in something that you can't look at and prove. Faith happens in the future. You look forward to something, and you can have an expectation. Jesus doesn't want to just be in your past. Jesus doesn't want to just be the one who saved you in the past. He wants to be the one who lives in you today and forevermore. That's the Jesus that came out of that tomb. It's easy to see that He was. It's easy to see that Jesus... I mean, folks, listen, even the people that do not believe Jesus is the Messiah, that even the ones that say, you know, it's not true, it didn't really happen, most of those, cannot contradict that Jesus was. That there really was a man named Jesus that really did claim to be the Son of God, and they really did crucify Him on a cross. That's fact. Jesus really, really was. But it takes faith to see that He is. The same Jesus wants to be with you today. On the road to Emmaus, He found two people walking away. Their response was to go back. Let's look at that. Let me find that verse. It says here, in verse 33, they got up and returned at once to Jerusalem. Folks, they were walking with Jesus, and they said, it's late. Nobody wants to travel at night. Don't keep on going. Stay here with us. Have dinner. We'll get a good night's rest. We'll continue on in the morning, because we don't want to go anywhere at nighttime, right? So Jesus said, okay. Came in, broke the bread, and they went, oh, He's alive. He's alive. Let's go back and tell the boys. Let's go back and tell everybody. They didn't say, oh, in the morning, when it's good to travel. They did that. It says, at once, they returned to Jerusalem and found the 11. They hightailed it back in the dark. It was so powerful, they had to do something. It was so strong, they could not contain themselves. They thought, I ain't going to sleep anyway. Not after that. There's no sleeping for me. I might as well be walking. You know, it wasn't like they hopped in their BMW and drove 7 miles, you know, 60 miles an hour and got there in 7 minutes. But they may have got there to the 11 in the morning time when they were fixing to have breakfast. Who knows? But they got up at once when they said, nobody wants to travel at night. They said, we can't help but travel at night because this news is too good not to tell. Folks, it's still too good not to tell. Oh. Their response was to go back. It is possible today that Jesus has found you walking away. It's possible that Jesus has found you today walking away in despair. It's possible that He's found you walking away disappointed. It's possible that Jesus has found you walking away hurt and defeated. You don't have to stay that way. Let Him explain Himself to you, just like He did the guys. These two men. Let Him explain Himself to you. Open your eyes to show you who He is. And then come back. Come back. Don't keep walking away in disappointment. Come back to the fellowship. Back in verse 33, it says, they got up and returned at once to Jerusalem. They found the 11 and those with them assembled together. You see, we were meant to be together. Believers were meant to be together. We were meant to be in fellowship with one another. We were made to be in fellowship with God the Father through Jesus Christ, His only Son, who did everything necessary for us to come back to Him. So come back. Would you come back? Don't walk away. Don't walk away. I read the lyrics to one of the old hymns just a few moments ago. I'm going to read you the lyrics to one of the new songs. We actually sang both of these songs today. The head that once was crowned with thorns is crowned with glory now. The Savior knelt to wash our feet. Now, at His feet we bow. The one who wore our sin and shame, now robed in majesty. The radiance of perfect love now shines for all to see. The fear that held us now gives way to Him who is our peace. His final breath upon the cross is now alive in me. The tomb where soldiers watched in vain, this is the good part, folks, was borrowed for 3 days. I got to stop on that for a second. Jesus didn't even say, I need to get a tomb that I have to pay for because I'm going to need it for a really, really long time. He just said, I don't need it very long. I only need it for 3 days. I'll give it right back. Didn't need one. Didn't. They could have chained him 7 stories underground, sunk him in a box in the ocean. They could have covered him with volcano. They could have set a pyramid on top of him, and it wouldn't have made a difference. Amen. 3 days later, it was coming out. Jesus was coming out. Amen. No matter where they put him, he was, and he did. And he did. And he's still alive today. Oh, where was I? Borrow for 3 days. His body there would not remain. Our God has robbed the grave. Our God has robbed the grave. He robbed it. Your name is victory. All praise will rise to Christ our King. By your Spirit, I will rise from the ashes of defeat. The resurrected King is resurrecting me. In your name, I come alive to declare your victory. The resurrected King is resurrecting me. The resurrected King is resurrecting me. Oh, Jesus is the resurrection. And he wants to share that resurrection with us. Would you be resurrected with him? I can tell you that I believe. And 100 times fold. No matter if whether Jesus splits the sky wide open before I draw my final breath, or I draw my final breath and they lay me low in the grave, the resurrected King is resurrecting me. But it's not just then at that. He's already doing the resurrection work within me. He's causing me to be alive right now. My eternity has already begun. I'll just transition from here to there at some point. And I'm not dreading it. I'm looking forward to it. My back's not going to hurt. My head won't get sunburned any longer. Let me tell you something. I'll be in the glory of the Lord, and it's brighter than any sun there is. And I won't even need sun protection. My neck's going to turn all the way to the left and all the way to the right. No pain. Folks, all this stuff comes from this book. This book we call the Bible, the Word of God. I believe it. And I make no apologies for it. Do you believe it? Do you live like you believe it? Should we not? Shouldn't we live like we believe it? There's an old, back in the Greek, when much of this scripture was written, to know or to believe meant more than, okay, I got it down. It was a belief so firmly implanted that it changed everything about them. It changed their behavior. So if somebody said, oh, I know, somebody say, oh, no, you don't, because I have seen you. You may say you know, but you don't know. Folks, do you know? And do you believe? And if you do, is it changing the way you live? Jesus Christ really did come to this earth. He really did live a sinless life. He really did give that life for you and for me, because the Bible says the wages of sin is death. For all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. Every one of us. And the wages of that sin is death. Jesus said, no man comes to the Father but through me. I am the way, the truth, and the life. He said, I am the resurrection and the life. No man comes to the Father but through me. God said, the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life. And it's through Jesus Christ. If you're here today and you've never come to the point where you just say to God, I know I've done wrong. I know that I'm a sinner according to what the Bible says. I've displeased you in some form or fashion. Maybe many, 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 many times, maybe just once. But even if it was just that one time, it sentenced me to a life, an eternity in separation from you. And I don't want that. I want to come to you. And if you've never come to that point, you say, Lord, save me from my sins. I put my faith and my trust in Jesus Christ. I believe that He is my only hope and He is my only future. And I'm going to let Him be in charge. I'm going to let Him call the shots, and I'm going to be obedient to Him, and I'm going to follow Him. If that's you, then today's your day. This resurrection celebration can turn into a party just for you. Because it's worth celebrating. The Bible tells us when just one believes, all heaven rejoices. This can be your day. Maybe you had trusted and you had believed. But now you're walking away. You're headed towards Emmaus, downhearted, disappointed. Troubles have come, hurts, betrayals. You're walking away downcast. You're walking away heavy-hearted. Allow Jesus to come up right beside you, reintroduce Himself to you and say, I really am. I really am. Look, let me show you. And then go back. Go back to the fellowship. I will tell you, this is a fantastic church to be in. It's a great church. I choose to be here. And if you choose to be here too, we would love to have you. If you choose to find another church to be in, God bless you. Go there, get involved, and learn more about Jesus. I'm not selfish. Whether it's here, down the road, across town, move somewhere else, go find a church. Folks, they went back. Where'd they go back to? They went back to the disciples. They needed to be together. Christians need to be together, especially in this world we live in today. Find a church. Get involved. Become planted. Allow God to continue to show Himself to you. Whether that's here, whether that's somewhere else, I'm not picky. God's not picky. Find someplace. We're about to stand. I'm about to wrap this up. We're going to stand. We're going to sing a song. I don't know what it's going to be. The altar is open. There's room at the altar. And if there's not, there's room in front of the altar. And if there's not, there's room here. I'll ask these people to move out of these chairs. We'll just keep making room. But do business with God today. I will be standing up here in front. I'm going to ask my wife, Rebecca. She's my partner in ministry. She's not the pastor. I'm the pastor. But she's my right-hand person. We're together. We go together like peas and carrots. We're a team. And it's just quite possible that there's a lady or a man, it doesn't matter, that doesn't want to come pray with this big old ugly thing right here. She's much easier to pray with, and that's fine. You can come pray with her. That's why I bring her up here. Come here. We're here for you. The truth is, you don't need either one of us. You can come to the altar and go straight to God, straight to Jesus Christ. He is our high priest. You don't have to go through me, although I'll be here if you need me. Let me just encourage you in this. If you don't have for certain the certainty in your mind and in your heart that on the resurrection day, on your resurrection day, that you'll be resurrected to heaven, you need to fix that today. Because the truth is, if you're not resurrected to heaven, you'll be resurrected to hell for all of eternity. And everything I read about says you don't want to go there. Even the people that go there say, I wish I wasn't here. Okay, there's an account of that in Scripture too. Whatever your need is today, maybe, like I said, maybe you've been wandered off. You've been hurt, you've been heartbroken, and now you're walking away going, man, I used to have hope. I used to have joy. I used to have expectations, and now I don't. Come back to Jesus. Come back to Father in heaven, Lord, we love you. And Lord, we say to you today, Lord, thank you for the hope of the resurrection. Thank you for the fact of your resurrection. And Father, thank you for the promise that you will resurrect us one day. The resurrected King is resurrecting me. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Lord, I pray for hearts that receive your word today. I pray, Father, for hearts that come back to you. Father, I pray for hearts that have been with you, become stronger with you today. Lord, I pray, as I always pray, that nobody walks out of this building the same way they walked in. And I'm not talking about which door they use. That however we walked in today, that we'll be changed. And we walk out differently because we've been in the presence of Jesus Christ. And Lord, we thank you for your presence here. You are here. May we honor you with our lives in Jesus' name. Amen.